This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Big is, I think, an official business term, right? Big oil, big tobacco, and big pharma as well. There's a reason for that. In the drug industry in particular, the giants, companies like Merck and Pfizer, spend years and huge amounts of money trying to get their products to market. It's competitive, it's cutthroat, and the stakes are incredibly high, which makes the barriers to entry, the odds against a startup succeeding in the pharmaceutical business, pretty high. Back in 1994, journalist Barry Wirth found one that was making it. He followed a former Merck employee named Josh Boger as he started his own company. It's called Vertex. And then Wirth wrote about it in a book called The Billion Dollar Molecule. At the time, Vertex was burning through cash and didn't have a single product to sell. Well, now, decades and billions of dollars later, Barry Wirth has updated the story of Vertex in a book that is called The Antidote: Inside the World of New Pharma. Barry, it's good to talk to you.
Good to be here.
This is, as I said, a sequel of sorts to a book you did 20 years ago about this company. And I want to start with your perception of change in the pharmaceutical industry, because for a long time it's been big pharma, right? That's what we all call the big pharma. And now you've coined maybe a new phrase, new pharma. What does that mean? What's the change?
In 1989, when Vertex opened its doors, Merck was the greatest drug discovery company in the world. It was also the most admired corporation in America. And it was leading the majors all towards a number of breakthrough medicines, cholesterol, hypertension, asthma. It was a kind of a golden age, but that whole hegemony has been exhausted, and now the innovations are primarily coming from smaller companies like Vertex.
What was Josh Boger trying to do when he started this company?
You know, when he left Merck in 1989, he went home without having taken anybody with him, no patents, no proprietary information, no technologies, nothing. And he sat at his whiteboard for several weeks sort of figuring out what he wanted to do. And he wrote down three things. One was make better drugs faster. The second was become Merck but better. And the third was build the 21st century biopharmaceutical company. So the goal there was not just to capitalize on some new technology or some new insight into some disease area, but build the whole infrastructure for actually building out a productive, sustainable R&D pipeline.
It took a while for him to get going. This company went years and years and years without a product hitting the market.
Well, you've got to be an excellent salesman for sure. You know, this is not like another tech industry where you can cook up a cool idea in your dorm room and within a couple of years turn it into a billion-dollar product or a $10 billion company. Pharmaceuticals are a long, hard slog. Every stage of it is extremely difficult and extremely expensive. Boger had a big enough vision and at the same time had the determination to continue to raise money for all that time. It became a little easier in 2006 when they finally realized they were going to have a blockbuster on their hand. But even after that, it took another $1.5 billion to get to market with that drug and to keep the rest of the pipeline moving.
I confess I was surprised by the extent to which you mentioned Wall Street and stock prices and investors and the markets.
There's no place to raise that kind of money but Wall Street. You know, we would like to imagine that if somebody had a good idea, the money would come. But the fact is, biotechnology and pharmaceuticals generally are an extremely high-risk business. One in 300 ideas that you have gets to market and the other 299 crash and burn. So there's a tremendous pressure, but the upside is if you do take your shot on goal and make it, the rewards are enormous. You know, within the first year after Vertex introduced its hepatitis C drug, it sold $1.3 billion worth of product. So if you can get there, you might be able to recoup your investment, but the chances of getting there are really very small.
How much have investors, by which I mean, you know, mom and pop who have Merck and GlaxoSmithKline in their 401ks, but also big institutional investors, how much have we gotten accustomed to really big returns and great dividends from big pharma?
Well, you know, I think we're all complicit in this. Everybody complains about the high cost of healthcare, and everybody complains about the high cost of pharmaceuticals. First of all, drugs only comprise about 10% of the healthcare economy. So if you really want to know where the budget-busting prices are coming from, it's from really from hospital care. But looking ahead, I don't know that everybody's going to be able to have drug stocks in their 401k and then at the same time be able to complain about the fact that drug prices are so high.
It's called The Antidote: Inside the World of New Pharma. It's a follow-up of sorts to Barry Wirth's earlier book called The Billion Dollar Molecule. Barry, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Kai. Good speaking with you.